please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
Ain't no disrespect when the king goes sick.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here with you, and we're going to take a short break right now. And as we wait for people to call in so that we can talk about the subject of the day. The host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, coming to you from Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, I want to talk to you today about the justice system and how wild people have gotten and how people just don't want to be punished for the things that they do wrong. Somehow or another, we've gotten to the point where we want the freedom to do whatever pops in our head and then don't want to face the consequences of our actions. So we have a lot of young people who run around doing the wildest of things and not just being able to control themselves, but just feeling free to just display their anger and unhappiness in all types of different ways. Recently, in the last couple of days, we've been having these mob riots at the mall where young people have been using social media to meet up at the different malls and just start fighting. Seems to be a new wave of people are young people who enjoy fighting and will use any reason they can find to start a mob riot. And this kind of behavior is very prevalent in the school system. One of my regular audience members sent me a article where there is a city that is getting ready to charge students who fight on campus with felonies. And I think I would support that because I just believe that it's time to put a halt to all this violent behavior that is going on with our young people and teach them and help them to understand their consequences behind this senseless violence that some of them are participating in. We have situations where young people are seriously, physically hurting and disfiguring each other for stupid reasons. And these young people are then becoming adults who think it's okay to allow their emotions to get the best of them so that they commit the same kind of violent behavior as adults. So we need to spend some time talking about, you know, what is our justice system supposed to do for these people who get caught doing such violent things? And shouldn't we start at a young age showing these young people that they have to be held accountable for their behavior? You can't just go and start a fight in a mall or start a fight in a store and then get just suspended and told to go home. So why should you be able to fight in your school and physically hurt someone and assault someone, a teacher or another student, and you just get suspended from school? School should be protected more so than any other place. Protect the mall by putting young people or teenagers in jail. Why shouldn't you protect the school by doing the same thing? We have to be prepared and ready to send a message that we're not going to tolerate this senseless violence that's taking place across our country, that you cannot use fighting and lawlessness as a as some type of enjoyment or entertainment. We need people to understand how to behave correctly, or there'll be accountability. I sent a lot of my audience and posted two black females beat and battered a child, a three-year-old, to death, and poured bleach over her body after she passed away. And then when they got in court and got sentenced to life, they became so emotional and fell out the chair and fell all on the ground because they thought somebody should be sympathetic to their lives and somehow give them an easy way out. We just need to talk about accountability and how we need people to understand that their freedoms will be taken if they end the life of someone or if they physically hurt someone so much that they will have a physical disability for the rest of their lives. We can no longer allow people to think it's okay to kick somebody in the head or hit somebody with a baseball bat, stab someone in a fit of rage or anger, that our society is not going to tolerate lawlessness. And this is what some of these people are actually doing. They're behaving like thugs and idiots in our high schools, in our classrooms, and in our streets. And then they want our sympathy when they get caught and they go to court. I'm going to give everyone an opportunity to chime in on the show today. And so I want to just take another short break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the lawlessness that's going around our country and what we need to do to protect our citizens and make sure that people fully understand that our justice system is prepared to deal with everybody in a manner to make sure they understand that we're not going to tolerate this kind of abuse to our citizens. We'll be right back to talk about what type of justice system that we want.
I want some company. You look like you're just my type. You're the kind whose spirits are running free. Let's take a sip of some cold, cold wine and dance to the music nice and slow. Under any kind of pressure, you see, we'll just let the evening flow. Away from this noisy crowd. Let's go where it's nice and quiet, where there's nobody else around. Let's sit by a cozy lit fire, and we can be each other's company. Now, how
Govern our schools and our young people in a way that they understand that fighting in school and assaulting teachers or assaulting their classmates or having these senseless fights where they're jumping on each other and actually committing the type of crimes that if they did them in the street and got caught by police officers, they would be taken to jail. Why should they just be suspended from school from the same behavior if they did in the streets that they may end up in jail? And understand that I'm saying to you that our schools should be, if we say they're drug-free zones, why shouldn't they be assault-free zones where we don't tolerate fighting of any type? And we're not going to just say, you know, and most of the schools here in Orange County, if you fight, you get 10 days suspension. And 10 days is not enough time to alter that behavior. And so why is it that they get less punishment if they're fighting in school than they're fighting in the street? And how is that punishment going to change the behavior of these kids who are out there assaulting teachers and assaulting other students? Kathy, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Mr. Deshae, how you doing? I'm doing well, thank you.
Kathy, I'm just concerned about the violence that's taking place in our neighborhoods and in our streets, and now kids are using social media to meet up at the mall and start mob fights and mob violence in our stores. And I just want to know, you know, what should we do to protect the general public, to protect teachers, and to protect students who are going to school to get an education and not to be assaulted by other students?
They need to put some kind of policy in place, situations. Mm-hmm. So if it happens, then hey, not that they suspend them, because you suspend them, you send them home to think about other stuff that they can do. They need to make some kind of system or some kind of a school where they can go to and learn from their mistake and just talk about everything that went on, because I believe that there's a mental problem, that something is going on with them that are making these kids do and act the way that they're acting. I don't think that this is no ordinary thing, that the kids would do what they're doing, how you see them beating and jumping on these different kids. I don't think that there's something ordinary. I think something is going on. There's something else going on, either in the home with them or something that happened to them to make these kids do the things that they're doing. It should be a policy put in place in the school. And I think that time that they give them away from the school, if they allow them to come back, that they need to go to some kind of program where it talks about anger management and why you did this and how can we change this. And, you know, so it's where they can talk that thing out, because if they did it once, they're going to do it again. So that's what I believe.
And my problem is that we cannot continue to sacrifice our students and our staff and have good students dealing with the behaviors of these students who find that they can't control themselves. And I'm not against having an alternative school, a school where students have a lot more restrictions and that they're told, now listen, we're sending you to this alternative school, and you can work your way back to to the normal school, or if you do something bad at this school, then you're going to the juvenile court system. But we cannot continue to let students just run out of control. And it just seems that it is becoming like entertainment to be videotaped abusing other human beings. And we have to send a message that we're not going to allow people, adults or children, to assault innocent people without there being some consequences.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think it should be some kind of consequences as well. I remember my niece, my sister called me. She was so panicky. This was had to have been about 7-8 years ago when my niece was in school. She got gang jumped just like that. I mean, they jumped on her, and still to this day, we don't know why, but we think it was over some boy that liked somebody that liked my niece, but the girl who he used to go with, you know, they weren't together anymore, so she decided to get her friends, and they jumped on my niece. My niece lived was busted, her eye was swollen, and we were just up there like, you know, what's going on? And she would not tell who the people were. So there's some kind of code ethics that they have in those schools that you don't tell. You don't tell, and if you get jumped, you just get jumped, and that's it. But I remember when I was in school and we would have fights, oh, you got told on if you came up and jumped on somebody else. They told on you, and you went to the principal's office and you got in trouble for whatever, you know, the process was of you getting suspended or your parents coming up there. That was a process. But nowadays, these kids are not saying anything. They're not telling. They're not saying who the person was. So the only way that you can catch these kids and try to do something is from those videotapes. So I think it's a good idea that they're recording themselves, because that's what's going to get them.
And what's happening is they're getting more and more violent. You know, certainly I remember when when I was in school, students would have fights, and you might have somebody get a black eye or something of that nature. But they are literally stomping and kicking each other in the head with no understanding of the consequences that could happen when you brutalize each other in this fashion. And so that kind of behavior goes over into adulthood. So if we don't stop it with these young people, then we're going to be subjecting adults to the same type of behaviors. And now they're using social media to meet up at malls and terrorize citizens at their businesses. And we have to just say enough is enough. We're not going to allow you all to just display this kind of lawlessness and not have there be some kind of punishment. People need to know that their freedom is at stake. Their ability to educate themselves is at stake when they're behaving in this fashion.
Yeah, what's going to happen is they're going to have some of those incidents, because I saw it today on the news. I don't know how many malls it was where the people just went in there and just began to fight. But what's going to happen with that is that the police are going to get involved. They're going to call the police. The police are going to get involved. There's going to be some wrestling, some talking back and forth, and somebody's going to get hurt, and then they're going to say that it's the police's fault. But see, this is the type of stuff that happens, and then the police are usually the ones that get blamed for it. But in this situation, they need to be thrown down on the ground. They need to be handcuffed. They need to be put in jail until they go to court, and the judge needs to give them some time, because they need to know that they cannot go out there and just hit, bite, kick on innocent people. That's wrong. That's dead wrong. Again, there needs to be some kind of program put together for these kids, just like that Scared Straight program. They need to make another one a little bit higher than the Scared Straight, because most of those kids are in school. So they need to go a little bit deeper, dig a little deeper, and put some more stuff in place to send those kids to, because they think they stuff don't stink. That's what it is. They think that they're so bad that they can go and do whatever they want, but then they haven't met their mess. That's what I always say. Is somebody out there better than you? You think you're bad, but there is always somebody out there that can beat that butt. So, and we need to pray most of all. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for prayer. Thank you for somebody praying for me and getting me out of that situation. I thank the Lord. So I'm going to pray for them. Every time you bring this type of conversation up, when I get ready to go into my prayer room, I will lift up these kids in the name of Jesus.
Well, the terrible thing is you have people who now in these different states, in these different cities, who you have the general public who cannot freely feel comfortable going into the mall, and now you're going to have the malls wanting to implement rules that don't allow teenagers into their mall because you have this type of lawlessness and misbehavior. These people had to literally shut down some of these malls because of this rioting behavior and that was going on in these malls. And for some reason, these kids think this is fun. Again, it's entertainment. And you're right. They need to be thrown down, handcuffed, put in the back of cars, and they should be given a felony when they're being caught for this lawlessness. And they should be subjected to programs, mandated programs, to deal with their inability to make good choices. We cannot continue to allow kids to run rampant and just disregard the rules and the laws that exist in our society.
And we as a people cannot, once this happens, cannot begin to say, oh, they didn't know no better, because they do know better. Premeditated. When they go out and do those things, that's premeditated. They have time to talk about everything they do before they get there, and they still go hyped up to do those things. That's premeditated. So they need to be in trouble for those things. There needs to be something put in place. Not only, you said one state was doing it. No, each state needs to do that, because they need to, an example needs to be set, because that's been going on for the last 5 or so years, where it's just every time you turn around, you see one of those incidents on the Facebook, on the news, where this has happened. People have to take their kids out of certain schools because they're saying that they're going to jump on them, different things happening. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous, and something needs to be done. Something needs to be done.
And the fact that they are hurting these kids, here you got a child who's traumatized and don't want to return back to school because he's been brutalized and then put on Facebook and made to feel shame for the fact that it happened to him. And so, therefore, these people, again, need to be removed from school, put into an alternative school, and given the opportunity to work their way back to a general population-type school. We're going to take another short break. We're at the halfway point, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
make love tonight.
Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're talking about the violence that seems to be taking place by young people all across our country, and people on inability to face up to their punishment after they've been caught doing some horrific things. You know, we're just talking about how, you know, we have people who are assaulting adults in high schools, who are jumping on students, kicking each other in the head, and creating extreme violence and harm to one another. And so we need to at some point decide that we're going to intervene to protect the young people that are doing the right thing. You know, we have a lot of young people in these schools who are going to school to learn and who are not creating a harmful environment, and they need to be protected. And 10 days is not enough time to be suspended from school for you to do the right thing. And so we need, again, my suggestion is that they should be handled in a way that creates an environment for them that is more controlled. So if you have an alternative school that you send people to, 10 days is not enough time to affect change. Students need to be sent to an alternative school, or if the violence that they perpetrated on other students or on staff is great enough, they need to be sent to a juvenile detention center where they have schooling in those centers and work their way back into regular school. We cannot allow the lawlessness of some of these teenagers, both in the general public and in the school, to go without punishment. These students need to recognize that we're not going to tolerate them using social media as a means to create riots in our schools or in our streets. How are you doing this evening, Audrey?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Were you able to see some of the violent behavior that took place in the mall by students using social media to target specific malls throughout our country?
No.
It was an incident where several different malls had a mob violence going, where people staged huge fights at the mall to disrupt the malls, and certain malls had to be closed. And also our concern about the same kind of behavior taking place in our schools where our teachers are being assaulted and our students being assaulted to the point where they need to be hospitalized. And so what is it that we need to do to intervene in these students' lives and keep the students safe from students who don't know how to behave?
Well, we have to ask the question, why would someone want to do that? You know, what provoked them? And it sounds like you said that it was at several locations, so it wasn't an isolated situation, or if people did it separately, obviously they're communicating somewhere to get that idea, and they figure that it's okay. But we have to just make sure that that's a form of bullying. That's a form of really national security, because when you're talking about a public place and you put people's lives at risk, or you threaten to, you know, put lives at risk, then that should be a crime. And obviously we have to help people to understand if they make choices like that, what are some of the consequences that should be associated with it and adhere to it. And especially, like you say, in the school, you know, some of these school systems, you know, the teachers, I just commend them for teaching and just even being willing to try to teach. But those are there are some rare cases where people really not there to learn. They just there to disrupt, and some don't want to be there, so they try to make it tough and hard for others.
Well, you know, we're going to really have a major issue, a major concern, a major crisis when it comes to teachers and our high schools if we don't find some solutions. And the reason I say that, I have a brother-in-law, well, no, he's not a brother-in-law. He's my first cousin's husband. He was actually in a professional contractor. And he had a great job and just, you know, making a great living. And somewhere he decided he was going to go back. He wanted to go into the classroom and to help educate students and just be a teacher. Somewhere in his spirit, he wanted to be a teacher. And when he told me that, I just couldn't believe it. I really was just dumbfounded that he would go from a professional position to decide he wanted to go into education. And recently, just the other day, I spoke to my aunt, and she told me that he had quit. He just couldn't take it. And I wasn't surprised at all. I wasn't surprised that here's a man who had made a lot of money in the private industry, who had was respected by his peers, felt like he wanted to go back into the classroom, but it didn't last 2 years. And that's because the amount of disrespect that goes on in our classroom, the amount of time that teachers waste disciplining students is so great that they don't get the thrill of educating students and being a positive force in their lives. And we're going to have to find a way to rectify this situation, because you cannot keep asking adults to give their lives to a system that doesn't appreciate their efforts. Kathy?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I was sitting here thinking how you had said your someone in your family, because I said that once I get released from my job, that was going to be one of the things that I started to do, which is volunteer in schools. But I started thinking about it as you were talking about it. I'm like, okay, Lord, is this really where you want me to go? Because these kids have gotten really out of hand. But then there are those that do need someone positive in there, someone in there to encourage them. And so I'm still going to put that on my list of things to do when I leave my current job just to see if I can make a difference. But it is something to think about when you're talking about it, because some of the kids are out of control. And I don't think they need a alternative school, because an alternative school is just saying that you couldn't do right in the regular school, so we're going to send you here. And not only are you here, but Brian is here, Shelly is here, Ethel is here, Jose is here, and they've all came to the alternative school. So now we have a school full of people that couldn't act right in school, so you're over here acting up. No, there needs to be something else set in place for them, not an alternative school, because we don't want them to think that you can't be in regular school, so we made another school. No, there needs to be something else. I don't know what else, even if they need to go to juvenile hall and spend those 10 days in there so they can see, is this where you really want to go? Because this is where you're going to end up.
Well, let me ask you, Andre. You're a professional individual, and you are used to people responding positive to the things that you say when you know you're doing your job correctly. Can you imagine being in an educational environment where you know that you're doing your job correctly and you're excited about teaching students, but your students are not responding positively to your instruction? And what that would do to your mental psyche when you know that you're an adult and you're trying to impose your will on students who just don't have the ability to respect your position?
I'm at the airport, so I may have to mute out. But let me first of all say that everybody don't receive what I share with them in a positive way. So so I do have to respond to that. But I commend your family member for at least trying. It appears that his heart was in the right place. Like you say, he was an established business person, but he wanted to do something that he felt would make a positive difference for our future, which our schools are our future, and I commend the teachers. But unfortunately, the situation was more than what he anticipated or expected, because once we're out of the loop, we really don't understand the full degree of what's going on in the classes. We may hear tits and bits on the news, and if you have a family member, may share some of it. But I tell you what, I'm not quite sure if I could go back into the schools, and if I do, it would have to be at a adult level, not middle school or high school or anything like that, because I think they're just not respectful enough. The students aren't. It's not that they don't have the right to ask questions. That's fine, but I mean, I just think they're so disrespectful, and I don't know if I could really. I'll be like your family member. I don't know if I could really do a good job of being there. I would try to promote positive. I would try to explain the why so that they could understand it, the importance of it. But I do know that when people are growing up, you could tell them until you blew in the face, is what we used to say in Mississippi, and they still won't catch it. It's not until you have some experience and age under your belt sometimes that you really appreciate things. But all we can do is what we can do. And we try our best to put things out there for people to catch hold on. And while they may not catch hold on it at that moment, we don't know what the impact is years later, that they may reflect on it. And we may not never know it, and we don't have to. But if we just do what according to the plan that for us to do, then it'll work out.
Kathy, we know that you have an organization that works with young people, and you reward young people or give them things to inspire them and keep them excited. And that's one way of helping students is to just be involved in their lives and be a positive force. But there has to be a way for us to interject to our students that their behavior will be determine their futures. And they have to monitor their behavior every day, and they can't allow themselves to have these options where they seek to be disrespectful and out of order on occasions. Those occasions can destroy their whole future, so they can't just think of it as, well, this was just one indiscretion, and that I shouldn't be punished for my whole school existence behind this one one incident. But you have people who are being hurt drastically in these incidents. When you kick somebody in the head, you have no idea whether or not you're going to permanently permanently hurt that person or not, you know. But these people are getting this violent, and I don't know where it comes from. You have any idea, Kathy?
Yes, it's the devil. It's the enemy. He's running rapidly. And he's running rapidly, and he's taking over these kids because there's no other way that you're in your household. You're in your parents' household. Your parents is feeding you. They're clothing you. They're making sure you have money for lunch. They're doing everything that they're supposed to do. But when you leave out of that house, you turn into Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Something else has to be going on. It has to be something going on in that household. But then again, maybe not, because we've seen over and over again where kids have committed these horrific crimes and their parents knew nothing about it. So, again, it goes back to the devil. The Bible says that the enemy runs to and fro trying to see who he may devour, and he's truly getting at these children.
Yeah, and in a way that it just doesn't, you just don't can't begin to understand where it comes from. I mean, someone told me or asked me, well, how could they have that much hatred in their heart at such a young age? And I don't know. Regina, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, how are you?
Regina, I think it was you that sent me that article about them going to charge kids with felonies who have fights in their local school. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's in Missouri.
And what was your
state? They passed that law.
And what area was that?
That was in Missouri. And they passed that law.
And what was your thought about it?
Thinking that the times are changing so, and I believe I wrote on your page that it is unfortunate that we do not have the pulpits and the neighborhoods to protect our children anymore. And what it does is it makes it such that children of color, and even at this point, not even children of color only, because you have so many children being born with different types of mental health or behavioral health issues, that any of them could end up behind bars. And what it does is it cuts down on the population, because you have the boys behind the bars with the boys, and you have the girls behind the bars with the girls. And it's a deeply thought about systematic situation that's occurring now. Somebody's thinking about this while we are asleep.
Well, Regina, I'm sure you're aware, because you stay on top of things around that's going on around the country. But what do you do when you have mob violence happening with these teenagers going to these different malls in these different states, using social media as a means of targeting these malls, and then they perpetrating this mob type violence on the general public? So what else are we to do as a society if we don't try to send them a message that their lawlessness won't be tolerated?
Well, you're talking about two different things now. You're talking about them out there in the world, as opposed to in contrast to them being within the school system. Now, if you break a law that's out there in the world, yes, you have to be punished. You have to be penalized. But when you're within a school system where you are supposed to be learning, not just learning academics, but learning about social expectations, humane expectations, then there are supposed to be things in place to teach these children that. Now, when they go out there, you were the one who told me about them going into different stores and what a bunch of them going in and just wreaking havoc in the store.
Yeah.
See, you told me about that.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. These teenagers are using the Facebook and other multimedia devices to target stores and malls so that they can go and do this lawlessness. And they think if we go attack a store and there's 100 of us hitting it at the same time, then they won't be able to catch anybody. But my thing is if they are attacking people in their schools, like their teachers and their peers, and kicking them and hurting them, why shouldn't they be subjected to the same laws that are outside the school, inside the school?
Well, I tell you what, if they have gone through all of the processes to make sure that they are mentally healthy, to make sure everything is going right within their mind, then yes, they should be subjected to rules, but in stages. I don't agree with just arbitrarily taking them to jail because they have had an altercation in school. I believe in putting things in place and working with those children, having those steps in place, and showing that they have tried everything. I cannot sleep at night if I send a child home and I have not tried every single thing to get to that child's psyche, including going to the house and sitting down at the dinner table and having dinner with the family.
Regina, do I have any less of a concussion if I'm knocked out by a student in the school or if I'm knocked out by a student in the mall? Is my brain going to be less damaged as a staff member or as a student if a student picks up a chair and breaks it over my head in the classroom or he breaks it over my head at a restaurant? The behavior is the same.
Two things you're talking about, James, here. You're talking about
there are
people in place. Yes, hello.
Okay, go on. You went out for a little while. So rewind that. And
hello?
You said we were talking about. I'm here, Regina.
Okay. Yeah,
you were saying there were two things. You went out for a minute.
Oh, okay. You're talking about
finish
two different thought. Things now. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, you're talking about the school system, and then you're talking about the public, being out in public, in society, doing that. That's two different systems that you can talk about and have conversations on. There are steps in place if children are habitually in trouble in school. They have IEPs, behavior intervention plans, things like that in place for them within the school system. Now, what they have to learn as they grow older, and then you said you were talking about the teenagers in the malls. The article I sent you was talking about elementary school, K through 5. So, and that's a different age bracket there, too. Now, the thing you have to be careful about is when you are working with these children in the school system, you have to always admonish them that outside system is going to be different. They're not going to be as protected outside. You can't go into a store and pick up a chair and hit a waitress over the head. There are more severe consequences. Those folk in Missouri need to be careful.
Why shouldn't the child that's getting hit over the head in the classroom be as equally protected as the waitress in the restaurant?
Because our school system has an obligation to teach. It has an obligation to teach the children. And it doesn't mean just A, B, C, 1, 2, 3.
So that our classrooms now are breeding ground for thuggery and assault and potential life-threatening behavior by these people that we are not willing to throw out of our schools.
No, our classrooms are not breeding grounds, because every child in there does not behave like that. And if you have a classroom that is total mayhem going on, then you need to look at that professional in that classroom, a professional that's at the charge of the school. Somebody has to have control in there. And I'm telling you, because I've worked in the worst, and I've worked in what they call the best. Somebody has to be in charge. And if you can't be in charge and you've done all the paperwork, you've got these children checked out, they need help. If they don't need help, then yes, they know what they're doing. Send them on to jail. But now tell me, what's the result? What's good for them when they get out?
Well, I think they should create an alternative school where these people who can't control themselves in a normal school environment or have a more restricted environment so that they cannot be hurting their classmates or staff.
I agree with you. But now, we're talking about the jail. You're not talking about the alternative school. What I sent to you was jail.
I think
agree
that
with
part,
you on
that
the
should be a part of
setting.
The alternative. I think that jail should be a part of the alternative. Now, I don't think elementary school children should be going to jail, but children who are very, very aware of what the consequences are of hitting somebody in the head with a stick or a bat, or stabbing somebody or kicking somebody in the head, has to have a greater consequence than 10 days suspension.
Okay, James, and I totally agree with you. But now, mind you, we're on very different subjects. And this conversation is so broad that 60 minutes does not do it justice. You have to decide which area you're going to talk about. Are you going to talk about the children who have behavioral issues documented? Are you going to talk about the undocumented issues? Are you going to talk about the ones who come from neighborhoods where that's all they see and that's ingrained in them? What do you do with those? Are you going to talk about the children that you try to reach out and the parents won't help? So many different scenarios.
But my issue is, Regina, that you can't sacrifice the good kids by giving all kind of support to the bad kids.
No child is bad. Everybody was born on this earth with potential.
They were born with potential, but some of them are bad. I'm sorry. The word bad is a qualified descriptor for some kids. Kathy, I'm going to let you in on this.
Go ahead.
What are your thoughts
about
some of the things you've heard from me? Kathy?
Yes. Yes.
You know, me and Regina going at it a little bit, so I'm going to let you in on some of this.
Well, you know, I'm like Regina. This needs to be a continual. And as she began to name the different areas of types of issues, then there is really a problem. And like she said, which area are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on the kids that came from a certain background that are acting out like this? Or are you going to focus on the kids that have a mental capacity that are acting out like this? I mean, which area are you going to talk about? And there needs to be a part two, and there needs to be something done, because there are multiple areas of dysfunctional in some of these kids' lives, and something could have happened to some of them and something could not have happened. I've even saw on Facebook where, you know, one of the kids that had a mental problem began to taunt a child that wasn't doing anything to them. And they continued on, and then the child got, you know, upset and began to fight back. And then in the end, the child that wasn't doing anything was the child that got in trouble. So what about that child? Do they need to be blamed for their actions? But they weren't the one that started the fight, but they were the ones that finished the fight.
And, Kathy, you are so correct, because, see, that child with the mental problems is protected. But who's protecting the ones who don't have mental problems, who are taunted? So that's a whole nother aspect.
Well, Regina, that's what I was saying to you. We have innocent children who are being sent to school and who are being sacrificed by the system to these bad kids that you don't even want to even acknowledge are bad. You want to overlook their behavior and suggest that some of them are not bad-spirited.
I didn't say that I wanted to overlook those children who have mental issues. Those children are protected by the federal government. They are protected federally. But while they're protected federally, the other children still have a right to come to school to a safe environment and a free education where there is safety in the environment. So that's a whole nother issue. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think that we shouldn't sacrifice those kids who know how to behave, those kids who come there with a purpose, and that when we have determined that a child has a continual behavior that presents a safety issue to our students, he needs to be sent possibly to a juvenile system or to a alternative school. 10 days is not enough time to determine that a kid should have the right to come back to school.
And I'm totally in agreement with you. And when they are sent to those systems, things need to be in place in those systems that will help them. You do not send any child to an alternative setting where they're going to get the same thing that they got in the regular school. What's alternative about that? Nothing. So things need to be in place for these children who cannot matriculate in the regular school system. I'm totally in agreement with you.
Because all children need to be protected. And you're right.
Exactly.
If an alternative school, if you need more counseling and psychologists or whatever you need, then that needs to be provided. If you need to be in a more restrained system where you have rooms with locked doors, that needs to be provided. But our children and our staff need to be safe when they go to work.
I totally agree with you. How the safety comes about is the issue that we are talking about. But I totally agree. Everybody needs to be safe. Now, you see, we're not at odds. We totally agree with each other.
Well, I'm at odds with you when you say, ain't no child bad. I really ain't hearing that.
Well, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one.
Okay. All right. We're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back and finish our discussion.
You only the thrill of boy meeting girl. My possessor tried, it's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. I've got cause to be, there's a name for it, there's a phrase that's it, but whatever the reason, you do it for me. Oh, what's love got to do with it?
We must continue this conversation on another day.
Well, hey, I see that Regina brought some fire to the table, and certainly we need to talk about how to intervene in the lives of young people in order to make them successful taxpayers and successful citizens and not end up locked up and behind bars. Regina, what is your last word for today?
We must continue this conversation.
Well, it seems that everyone is in agreement that we're not finished, and so that's what we'll do. We'll seek another opportunity to talk about how do we create an environment in our educational system that keeps both students safe, those who come with a purpose, and those who have lost their way. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you each and every day, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, and on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We'd like for you to be on this show so that your voice has a platform so that you can be heard loud and clear. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you on Saturday.